Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. You're calling on the Central Club phone in. How can I help?
Hi, mate. Well, first, just want to say it's good to speak to you because I think you're an inspiration.
Oh, thank you so much.
Recovery and that. And it was my partner who said I should ring in. Basically, I've just done 9 months in Featherstone, and I'm basically shocked at what I've seen being in the prison system. And I'm trying to just raise awareness about the things that are going on in there, and I'm trying to find a way to, you know, get it investigated or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been covering a lot on the prison system lately. Myself and Harrison, we went into Park Prison last week, and to be fair, they were very accommodating. They obviously knew they had visitors. There was a report on the same week that there was 6 deaths in 3 weeks. So there's obviously something going on in prisons across the country. You know, I've been to prison myself, and it's not a nice environment. And I'm sure that the wider public will say, well, you know, deserve you right for committing a crime. But what is it that you're concerned about that is, you know, not in the realms of acceptable with the prison system in Featherstone?
Well, I mean, I did the whole prison thing when I was like 17, you know, juvies, YOs, in and out, all that. And then I sorted my life out. I'm an ex-addict in recovery. And so this time I went to prison. I had a relapse. And I went in there sort of feeling like a member of society rather than a criminal, just going there to serve my time. And it was like walking back into the 90s. There was, you know, the technology's never been updated. Mm. It's infested with rats and mice. It's dirty, you know. The wings are all smashed up. You know, and I know it's a thing across the whole prison system. Like you said, there's people committing suicide. You know, there's lots of young staff that are, you know, I was on the drug-free ring. We started a drug recovery ring, fair play to them. And I was a mentor on there trying to help the lads. We're doing peer-led groups. We're trying to run NA sessions.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got like young staff members with this culture of violence where they're running in on lads and with mental health issues and, you know, basically bullying lads. And then you've got these young staff calling with no training, calling the lads crackheads and saying, oh, yous are all crackheads. And
really,
you know, I just feel like, yeah, it's bad. And even the shout out to the SMO officers, the substance misuse officers, who have got a little bit of training, that they say, listen, that shouldn't be happening and we need better training. But they basically say, our hands are tied. We, you know, there's nothing we can do. But I feel like we're emulating the American prison system when we should be aiming for something like, you know, somewhere like Norway, where rehabilitation properly works. To throw away the key tough on crime thing has been proven to create more victims. So like you say, for those people that say, oh, well, you deserve it, you're all, you know, you shouldn't commit crime. It's not about the punishment. It's about making sure that there's no new victims and stopping crime. And tough on crime just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, there's that famous saying, isn't it? You know, prison is your punishment. You don't go to prison to be punished. And you know, I've been on both normal population, let's say, and I've been on drug wings. And the stigma when I was in Stoke Heath, I was on a drug wing because I was on a methadone script. And the stigma of being on that wing, you might as well have been on a non-swing. You know, like it wasn't that bad, obviously, but you know, you're on the meth wing. You're on the meth wing, and that's not just from inmates. I've seen it myself with staff, and you're right. Like, what kind of training is in place there for that? You know, you could be on methadone for many reasons.
Yeah, and in Featherstone, they treat them like second-class citizens. I mean, we all have to go and stand in a... I mean, I'm a subatex myself, so, you know, I'm not ashamed of that. I go every day. You have to stand in a big meth queue where everyone goes past the work, you know, and it's all the jokes and everyone laughing. There's no privacy. There's no humanity there. It's degrading and, you know, it's against human rights, I think, to not suffer degradation. And, the stigma is just horrible. And I've been Stoke Heath myself, and the staff there are something else, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? They're like, it's our jail, and we'll treat you how we feel.
Yeah. So what else are you seeing in there? Like, you know, for you to be concerned, obviously, as someone who's been to prison a few times, what's concerned you?
Well, one thing as well that's concerned me is, apart from people killing themselves, you know, the staff having relationships with inmates, wow, all that, you know, there's all the normal, you know, bad food, all that, cell phones going off. But it's a culture of violence against prisoners. So like, they basically, the staff, the young staff come in, they're shadowing for a few days, and then the next thing, they're running a spur, and they're basically told, you can imagine what they're told, listen, they're all trying to blag you, they're all after something, don't give them anything, don't give them an inch. And then that gets passed on. There's young SOs that rise up by basically bullying inmates. And wow, you know, there's one thing, there's mental health crisis, there's so many lads in crisis. The doctors are taking their medication off and ripping them all off their mental health meds because they think everyone's abusing everything. And for example, one lad was having an epileptic fit. They ran in, slapped the cuffs on him, and told everyone, oh, he's just mambered up.
Fucking.
He's banging his head on the floor and that, and he's actually cuffed up because they can't tell the difference. They're not trained. And another thing that really bothered me was you get a lot of people that say, oh, look at these death heads, you know, the ones that go behind their door on voluntary bang up.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of that in Featherston. In most prisons, they move the wing, don't they?
Move the wing, yeah.
In Featherston, they don't. They leave them behind the door. And there's lads behind the door for 3-4 months, and that's no word of a lie. And no one's got sympathy for them because everyone's like, well, they shouldn't have took drugs. But you know what it's like being an addict. You're on a wing. You know, you go to a drug-free wing thinking it's going to not have any drugs. And then there's lads pushing spice on there, you know, throwing it out on strap. You know, these lads, they end up behind the door, and you're not supposed to spend more than 21 days. And if you're on CC, you see a chaplain every day, you see a nurse every day, you see a governor every day. And if it's after 42 days, the Secretary of State has to sign off on it. That's how serious it's supposed to be. These lads aren't even getting exercise, and they're being told that they're staying behind the door for 4-5 months.
Wow.
And they're being told, well, it's their choice. I brought it up with Safer Custody as a mentor. I said, what are you doing for these lads? Well, it's their choice. They choose to stay behind the door. They could come out if they wanted to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, being a peer mentor yourself, surely, you know, I wish I was a peer mentor. They would never give me the job, but like that's a good job. So, you know, for you to, I'm not to say, myself, I'd say, I look at you, you screwboy, back when I was in jail.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you a screwboy, but what I'm trying to say is, for the people who don't know, you have more of a relationship with the officers because you're let out of your cell more. You probably go to different wings. So for you to be, you know, having that close relationship with them and still being concerned, there must be a problem there.
Well, that's something that I feel like I heard a lot more stuff because of that trusted relationship. Because I'm just playing the game, you know. Like you say, people call you a screwboy, whatever. I'm doing what I can do to get my tag, and I got home early. Touch wood, I stay home. You know, I never throw any other prisoner in. Never did, you know, anything that crossed the line, because it's us versus them at the end of the day. But I heard a lot of stuff because the officers let the guard down around me. And some of the stuff they're telling me, oh, we dropped this lad in the blind spot. They battered one lad who, to be fair, he did spit at an officer, spat at an SO. They battered him. And then the officer's telling me this like it's funny. He's going, oh, you know that lad, we battered him on in the blind spot. Then we got him down the block. And then when he got out, he's going to get recalled because we're doing him for attacking an emergency worker when he was getting dragged down the block. Yeah. And they're laughing about it. And I'm thinking, you can't have it both ways. You're either battering him, which is fair enough because he spat at you, or you're nicking him. You can't do both. And I'm thinking that, and I'm thinking, wow, they're telling me this, like, that's how comfortable they are in what they're doing. They're telling me this. And I'm just thinking, wow, that could be me one day. That could be, you know, my man. That could be my mate. Do you know what I mean? It's bad.
Is there weapons and stuff in there? Like, what about people bringing in stuff? Have you got officers bringing stuff in the jail? What's that looking like?
Yeah, there was an officer that was having a relationship with a lad on this. There was two on my wing while I was there.
Some little one, slapper.
She was bad. She was my personal officer, but I never had a personal officer session with her because he was having all the sessions, I think. She was having a relationship with him. She got nicked and all that, and a few of the lads got moved. And then there was another one a few months later. I think, I don't know whether she'd been bringing stuff in, but she'd been doing something. I didn't catch the full story on that, so I wouldn't like to speculate. But I know she got nicked on her way in. And then just before I got out, they locked us down for 3 days and kept us on 72-hour bang up, controlled unlock and all that. And we were like, wow, what's going on? And what we heard through the officers, what they were finding these carbon fiber blades, and they were saying, listen, these have been bought in shops. And they were trying to say they'd been flown in on drones and all that, but between the lads, we were saying, listen, that hasn't happened. They've come in through the officers. They must have. They're finding zombie knives and stuff in jail. Do you know what I mean?
Zombie knives in jail? In a British prison?
Yeah. Mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely mad.
You know, I can't imagine a drone carrying a couple of zombie knives, like dropping them down.
Yeah.
And hiding it. But you're more than likely to have an officer to do that because you've got scanners and stuff in the visit rooms as well. And it's hard for your nan's not going to bring a zombie knife in, is she? You know,
you hear that
grandmothers and parents and girlfriends bring drugs in. Yeah, but you're not bringing a zombie knife in, are you?
I know. And to be fair, the zombie knife thing was what an officer had reported that he'd seen one during an incident. A lad got his face slashed, which is what initiated the lockdown. But I don't. We've only got the officer's word that it was actually a zombie knife, and they did find three knives, but they didn't find the zombie knife. Wow. They just found three carbon fiber, I think, flick type blades, and then they let us out after the 3 days. But it's a bit.
That's
nuts.
Really concerning. Really concerning.
It is, yeah. And the main concerning thing as well, I feel, when I've been in prison when I was younger, I always felt if anything happened, if anything went off, you were kind of safe, do you know what I mean?
Safe,
the officers knew what they were doing. If there was an emergency, say a medical emergency, you knew they'd get to you in time. If someone attacked you with a knife or something, they'd jump in. You felt safe relatively. I feel like this time, the left arm didn't know what the right arm's doing. And I feel like it's the type of place where, serious things are happening and none of these staff know how to react. They're not trained.
Yeah.
And it's nothing personal against the staff. It's just they're not... they're not well trained enough.
I think
they got rid of all the good officers and replaced them with these younger ones.
Well, that's it. Unfortunately, people age, people retire.
Yeah.
There's been a big change in my local jail in Cardiff. We interviewed an officer very early on the Central Club, Mr. Rundle, who left, and he left because he said it wasn't the same. You know, and the new influx of officers are these officers who are young, upstar, cheeky, haven't got a clue. Some of them doing it just for the gram, I'm there for probably I'm a prison officer.
Yeah.
As sad as it sounds, that's what people do. People do it for status, don't they? And
I had one that said she did it for a bet. Her mum bet her that she couldn't do it, so she applied for it. 18 years old, and now she's working in prison. It's mad.
What the fuck? What the fuck, like, innit?
I know. Absolutely insane. I don't know. It's just concerning.
And you're saying that these women officers are getting fucked out left, right, and centre.
Yeah, basically. And these are the ones that we just know about. And there's only two on our wing, so you can imagine the whole prison and the whole prison system.
But how? What are you saying? Like, look, from the ones that you know, obviously we see CCTV on. That goes on social media. We hear stories on podcast. How are these fucking, like, are they having an affair in the cell or, like, on...
The ones on our wing, I mean, it was blatant. I don't know how they didn't get onto it because all the lads knew. She got her hair spat in one day by a lad, and the lad who I don't want to name him, but he was the number one server, and he's grabbing hold of her when it happened, and he's screaming, tell me you did it, and she wouldn't tell him. And everyone's like, wow, that's mad. They'd go and get the trolley every day together. And because he was surfery, they'd get let out again at night. So you hear him all giggling and that in the food room.
He was triggered. He was triggered by the spit because this is chick-like.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And everyone at that time, everyone was like, wow, something's going on there. But you hear stories in the...
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it is mad. But I knew someone, a friend of mine, who was shagging a screw. And I thought it was fucking wicked. But you could see other inmates were really jealous. And they grass them up then, like, they're the grasses, the inmates. They're like, she's fucking so-and-so. Because they're not getting a blowjob in the nights.
Yeah.
They're
not getting a stick brought in.
What was the inmate like? Was she a fatty as well? Was she ugly? I bet she was ugly as well.
No. She was not. Oh, she was all right, She was... She had a lot of makeup and all that. She's only young, bless her, and I don't really hold it against her. But
that was a joke, sound, anyway. I just
yeah, no. But there's a lot. I see it always in the Converse, in the Inside Times. There's always stories of like nurses getting fucked out and they're bringing in stuff for lads.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah.
The nurses are the worst.
Like the lads, they make out like it's the lads manipulating the women. The lads are the ones in the vulnerable situation sometimes. You're not going to say no, are you?
I'm going to tell you something now. So I was on TikTok flicking, as you do, and there was this one video, this TikTok. It must be like a trend, and it's like a song that plays, and it's like, look, me and my job looking at dum, 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 and it does all that like. And it's a nurse basically saying, me, the first time I went into the, Brixton jail or something, and she's like pointing, like smitten all over these inmates, and you're like... Like these, this is real shit. Like, do you know what I mean? And these people are abusing their power, like through.
Yeah.
It's sad, man.
All the women that come in, and my missus always says on a visit, she sees all the women that are walking around on the visits, the officers, and they're all plastered in makeup and that. And it's like, hold on, what? Who are you getting dressed up for? All the ones that come in.
Yeah, they're peacocking.
All the OMU staff, all the women that do all these mental healthy type jobs. They come in and they're plastered in makeup. They've got these little short, the shortest skirts they can get away with and that.
Yeah. And the other officers, the whether it's a jealousy thing or a professional thing, but the male officers, they surely must hate that, you know, the fact that the inmates are sleeping with the female officers. I'd imagine so anyway.
Yeah, they really do. And it's just mad how unself-aware they are, but not none of them are properly trained in that.
No.
They don't know where that line is. Like, the old school officers, the ones they got rid of because they were all on high wages, and they thought, well, we could have three young officers for the price of one of these, so we'll get rid of these. But those older officers knew where the line was.
They were staunch, yeah. They were staunch.
Yeah, they were staunch, and you knew if you stepped over the line, you knew where you stood. And I respect those officers because at least most of them, they're not the kind of person you chill with on the out, but I've got respect for them because you know where the line is and you know not to cross it. These younger ones don't know where the line is and they frequently cross it, and you see them doing things that, they really shouldn't do. They take stuff personally.
Yeah.
You can't take stuff personally in this job. You've got mental health issues.
We had an officer like that, Stereo his name was. He was an ex-military guy. Yeah. And like, he'd be on A-wing and the bell would be going off on D-wing. And, you'd have to leave one officer on A-wing when the others go, but he would just go. Whatever the drama was, he was there. Like, he loved the drama. Yeah, and, he'd be dishing out basics and warnings and left, right, and centre. Yeah. Just a horrible, horrible man, proper jobs worth as well. But, let's be real. A lot of us inmates who have been in the system, we've probably been in there more than once as well. Like, a lot of people get institutionalised. Yeah. And, you build a rapport with these officers who you've been in there with from day one. You feel like you can trust them. You can go to them for issues, and they can help you with whatever that may be. Reading a letter, probably go to an inmate, but whether that's trying to get a phone call or trying to sort this visit out, they will help you. These new inmates come on with their attitude and they're just whiter than white, and they end up being the most corrupt.
Yeah, and they share stuff that other prisoners have been talking about. It was around the time this happened with the one shagging. It was my mate. He was going through some issues with his missus, and everyone sort of knew he was a bit suicidal and he was having issues and that. And I was trying to help him out. And then this female officer, young girl, comes to his cell and goes, "Oh, I just wanted to see if you're right. I read your letter. And I know what's going on with your missus and that." And he went absolutely mad. He went, "What do you mean, fucking mean you've read my letter?" And when he told me that, I was just in disbelief. How she thought that it's okay to take his letter out the pile because she thinks he's going through something.
What a freak.
And read his letter, do you know what I mean? There's rules and regulations for that kind of stuff. And the fact that she thought she could do that just shows...
Well, you will have designated staff to read those letters when they come in. Not the random officer who works on the wing. That's just wrong.
People's letters.
I don't know if that's, if that is how it is, designated officers. I know when they come in, they have to check the letters, but surely a normal officer can't do that. Hey, listen, sorry, what's your name again?
Rob, it is.
Rob, nice to meet you. We're strapped for time. Just quickly though, what was the worst thing you saw in your time on that sentence?
I think the worst thing was that when they slapped the lad in cuffs that was having the epileptic fit. That was probably the worst thing. Or their staff run seen him running in on one lad, absolutely battered him, and he barely done nothing. I'd go with the epileptic one because you could see he was having an epileptic fit.
I think the saddest thing about that and the most concerning thing is, you're not telling me about an inmate conflicting pain on another inmate. You're talking about the staffs. It's what the staff done, which is the worst thing, and that's the problem here. And Rob, I hope this phone call can maybe raise a bit of awareness on it, and maybe we can have a chat. Out of hours as well. Give me a message. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're an inspiration. I love what you're doing, and crack on with it, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Rob. You take care. Stay sound, Rob.
Take care, brother. Bye.
Yeah, that prison system's fucked, mate. Honestly. And I get it. I get how people are going to say, well, they're fucking criminals. But, until you've been in that situation, you feel so helpless. It's disgusting. And I've always had concerns about the system, but we're still here now, 5 years on since me going in, and this stuff's still happening, and it don't get reported. Very sad. Rob, thanks for calling.